The Secret's oat for nourishing your sensitive skin. Start each day with Aveeno's Daily Moisturizing Body Wash to gently cleanse and help preserve your skin's moisture barrier. Then slather on the Daily Moisturizing Body Lotion for 24 hours of clinically proven hydration. This powerful combo gives you 2 times the moisture in 2 easy steps, thanks to both nourishing oat formulas. Get softer, smoother skin and shop Aveeno now at Target.
We start hour number 3. One baseball note that I have not referenced. Philadelphia fired Gabe Kapler. Every last one of you calling and tweeting has fired Dave Roberts. I'm the one guy saying you don't fire him. He had a bad night. Bad time to have a bad night. You bring him back. And I laid out my reasoning for that. Welcome to hour number 3. I am Jim Rome. You're in the jungle. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We will talk some more baseball. And I'll say it again, the Nats are not getting enough credit. It's a tough, tough, hard-nosed team. More on that in a minute, but Wake Forest is a great story. We're joined right now by the head football coach at Wake Forest. He is in his 6th season with the Demon Deacons. He is the first Wake Forest head coach to win 28 games in his first 5 seasons. He has led them to 3 straight bowl wins. Wake Forest is 5-0, and they're 1-0 in conference play. They are currently ranked number 17 in the coaches' poll. They're at home on Saturday against Louisville. Their head coach, Dave Clawson, is our guest. Dave, it's good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I don't know if I like your lead into it about all the baseball people getting fired, though.
Well, the one guy getting fired and one guy that they want to get fired. And by the way, has that changed? I mean, how different is it right now? It seems like guys used to get 3 years no matter what, and I get guys get fired after 2 years, 1 years. What's changed in any sport?
I think there's more money involved. I think social media. I think a lot of coaches aren't given time to build a program, and college football and college athletics is different in the NFL. You can't sign free agents. You can't cut players. And it makes you really evaluate a situation before you step into it, because some people getting fired after 2 years, I mean, that never used to happen.
Never. And some guys after even 1 year, and I think you're right, you have to evaluate the situation and know where you're working and who you're working for. Now, you, on the other hand, are 5-0. You're number 17 in the coaches' poll. You've got Louisville coming to your place Saturday night. So how is life for you and the Wake Forest football program right now?
I mean, it's very good, but I think the last time we were in this position, you had me on. So we've started out 3 out of the last 4 years 4-0, and this year was fortunate to get to 5-0. And I think because we have so many older players in our program, right now we have 23 players in our 2 deep, that this is their 4th and 5th year. So they experienced the 4-0 start in 16 and 17. And those years didn't necessarily end the way we wanted it to. And now we're getting to the meat of the ACC schedule. So I do feel like we're in a much more even keel than we were those other 2 years.
Dave Clawson joining us. You know, I was going to ask you about that because you've won 7 straight going back to last season, which is the longest streak since World War II, but you went right to that. You said the last time you and I spoke, you were in a similar situation, and you know what happened. But once again, there is a lot of buzz around the program, and when you see that, any coach would tell you they're more concerned about people rushing in to tell their players how great they are as opposed to what they can't do. How do you make sure these guys don't get carried away with this?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, you really can't control that. You try to keep them the focus on the task at hand. Certainly for us, a very improved Louisville team is coming to town in 2 days, and they've done a great job there, Coach Satterfield, and only his first year. And you talk about the experiences in the past, that, guys, we've been in this position before. What did we learn from that? How can we handle it differently? And anytime you start looking past the next opponent or the next practice, things get away from you, and we can't afford to let that happen.
Wake Forest head coach Dave Clawson joining us. Now, if you look at the way you've done this, you go back to that 27-24 win over Boston College on the road before the bye. Since then, you're 12-3 in one score game since the start of 2016. With a sample size like that, that's not a lucky break or two or a one-off. How do you explain the team's success in tight games?
I feel that we spend a lot of time, an inordinate amount of time in spring football and preseason camp and in end-of-game situations, whether it be 2-minute drill, 4-minute drill, how we manage the end of the half. And then you have to have an experienced football team that actually buys into that, that know that those things can make a huge difference in games. And our quarterback, Jamie Newman, has done a phenomenal job in our two-minute drills. And then the defense has done a really good job in two-minute drills. So we've executed extremely well at the end of games, and it's put us on the right side of those games more often than not.
Dave Clawson joining us. You know, if you go back to that point you made about 23 guys being on the two deep, I think I could argue also the value of that experience is not just that you have to play guys before they're ready, but when you put them out there, and you're in the ACC, if you're putting a freshman out there and they're not ready, a team like Clemson is going to find them, expose them. It's going to go badly, probably. How different do you feel now that guys are getting on the field when you know they're ready and you're not just having to fill holes?
Well, we're probably never going to recruit at the level of a Clemson or a Florida State. I mean, they get five-star kids that want to play right away and, you know, plan on staying there for 3 years and go to the NFL. Part of the reasons people pick Wake is the value of the degree. And so we recruit really in mind of, okay, what is this young man going to look like when he is 21, 22, 23? And we're at a place that we get to see those years with them. So a lot of our best players, you know, didn't have a lot of other offers, but we could put them in the weight room, redshirt them, watch them grow, watch them develop, and now they've become really good ACC football players.
Dave Clawson joining us. It's so true. It's a great, great academic institution. It's a phenomenal college. But, you know, you still have to recruit, and you've made the point that it's not the same old Wake Forest in the sense that the facilities have changed. So certainly there's a diploma that they want, but how much does it mean in terms of attracting and developing players that the facilities have changed and you can make an overall statement about the program and the commitment?
Well, here's what's changed in the last 3 years. I think Wake Forest has always been a great academic school, and parents always wanted their sons to come here and get degrees. The problem was is we had very little evidence here that football was important. We just were not competitive from a facility standpoint. In the last 3 years, we've invested almost $100 million in football facilities. We have a brand new indoor, new practice fields, new weight room, new meeting rooms, the McCreary Fieldhouse, the Sutton Sports Performance Center. And now we can say, okay, it is the best of both worlds. It is a great degree. It is a great education. But we also have a football facility here that can support a really good ACC program. And because of that, we've had more guys go to the NFL because of it, too. So I think we now are the total package. The school's not going to change. There's still, it's hard. It's not easy to get a degree here. There's a lot of accountability. Classrooms are small. You have to go to class. But for a kid who wants that, we can probably provide that as well as anyone in the country.
Wake Forest head football coach Dave Clawson joins us for a few more moments. Now, your linebacker, Justin Sternod, said, quote, "My sophomore and junior years, I used to give him trouble like, hey, what if Notre Dame or some big-time school starts calling," end quote. But now he doesn't even ask the question because he knows how much you love that program. What is it about Wake Forest that makes the place so special for you?
I just think it's the type of young men that we're able to attract here. We get kids that understand the big picture. You know, we want them to love football, and they love football, but we have a bunch of young men that know that there's life after football, and they have that perspective that you can have conversations with all different types of things. And I enjoy being at this campus and coaching and interacting with the type of young men that we can attract here.
I mean, Dave, you know who you are, and you know about your core principles. Let me just ask you this. When you have that kind of commitment, I mean, $100 million that go into the facilities and the program, when you have new facilities and you have three straight bowl wins, there might be a temptation to deviate from the plan and the way you do things. Is there any of that? Do you push up against that at all? And how do you maintain that right balance between growing and evolving but staying true to who you are?
I think it's exactly that. We know who we are. We know what Wake Forest is as an institution. And we know the damage we can do to our program by bringing in somebody that doesn't fit the school. So, you know, we've had chances to maybe take a five-star kid or a four-star kid that we loved him on tape. We'd love for him to be on our football team every Saturday. But I don't know if he would have fit this school the other 6 days of the week. And because of that, we consciously pass on some of those kids, even though we know how talented they are. And those are hard decisions. And we're not always perfect with them. Maybe some of those kids would have fit. But if we get any inclination that they don't fit our core values or fit the institution's values, we certainly have not taken some very talented kids. because of the type of school we are and the type of program we run. Hmm.
And then finally, it comes back to your core principles, and one of them is that pregame tradition you have of getting up on game day and going for a 4 to 5 mile run. It seems to me there'd be a lot of things you might be doing before a game. Why is that run important, and what kind of things do you think about during that run?
Oh, I think if anything, it's just a way of kind of settling those pregame jitters. You know, I mean, it's you get up and you think about the game and some of the decisions you're going to have to make, and it's just probably a way of managing some of that game day anxiety. So I've done this for almost 20 years that I've been a head coach, and it's just something I look forward to. And when it's over, you got a good sweat in, you got your workout in, and now you can focus on what you need to do that day.
That makes sense. He is the head football coach at Wake Forest in his sixth season. They are 5-0 and 1-0, number 17. In the coaches' poll, the next challenge is Saturday at home against Louisville. Dave, nice to have you back on the program. Always appreciate that conversation.
Okay, thank you so much.
Listen, good luck, Dave Clawson. Man, he is rock solid. Rock solid. Wake Forest getting some much-deserved jungle run for the football program. Number 17 in the coaches' poll, they are undefeated. Next up, Louisville. Interesting that he said coming off the intro, I hate to hear that about baseball managers, or really any coach or manager. But, like he said, more money, social media, people are less patient, and guys used to be guaranteed 3 years, not anymore. 1-800-636-8686. Everybody hating on the Dodgers. Everybody hating on LA. And I've always said, San Diego is largely underrated as a community that hates LA. I know. I lived there for a number of years. It's an amazing place. You know, America's finest city, and it might be. But the hate is real. Like, we know San Francisco hates L.A.'s guts. I could even argue that we know that Boston and New York hate L.A. I'm just saying, never ever sleep on San Diego as somebody who hates L.A. San Diego hates L.A. as much as anybody hates L.A. Another reason why they were so pissed that the Chargers came to L.A. One thing to lose their beloved football team, another to lose their beloved football team to the city they hate most of all. Now, there's been some questions about whether or not this guy might show up. Here he is in L.A., Matt in L.A. What's up, Matt?
Romy Brome, thanks for the vine. From Manhattan Beach to Montreal, from Whittier to Washington, D.C., you're welcome. Now, as I address the jungle and the media conglomerate that is the CBS Sports Net, a global enterprise, scoreboard, look up at it, Matt. Congratulations to Howie Kendrick. Congratulations to the Washington Nationals, the Montreal Expos, hell, even the Washington Senators, and everybody in D.C. not named Fat-Faced Jay Gruden can get some gap today. Because they earned it, pimp. Earned it by dropping my Dodgers like Jeff and Richmond's swollen jowls. But that's not why I called, Jim. I called because the Blue Crew got smashed by a combo plate of reverse jungle karma appetizer that won Walker Buehler allegedly unintentionally stiffing the jungle birth, followed by a double entree of Clayton Kerosene Kershaw's arm. Once Buehler's no-show let the toothpaste out of the tube, reversing the Dodgers' accrued jungle karma so that in one fell swoop, that overhyped, overpriced, overrated regular season ripper who becomes a playoff pariah every damn October reared his beach ball tossing, rabbinical beard rocking, expired ass. Clayton Kerosene Kershaw, perpetual playoff failure, is absolutely done. Stick a fork in him like Belly Clarkson sticking a barbecue fork in a Cornish hen or 12. I'm done with that loser Kershaw, Vance. It's still the Dodgers till I die. Still Dave Roberts all day, but I can't cheer for that Cy Young collecting paper champ puke ever again. Can't do it. Roar, it's Rick Eisenhower inviting the young men of the XR4TI crew to a speakeasy. Roar James Kelly's great gazoo-esque helmet, dome, and broomstick arms. Unroar Mike Goode Jr. being on TV and not knowing how to tuck in a damn shirt. Fat slob. Shape up. Outro.
Rack him. Matt in L.A. If If you were wondering whether or not he was coming in, he did. He gave the Nats their dap. He lit Clayton Kerosene Kershaw on fire. He said it's not Dave Roberts' fault. And then did other Matt in L.A. things. And got racked for it. 1-800-636-8686. Kershaw had a really bad night. Kershaw is not the same pitcher he was. This is part of the narrative. This is part of this guy's history, legacy. It is. Last night made it much worse. He's a gamer. He wanted to be out there. He won the ball. It's up to Dave Roberts in that situation to say, hey, listen, man, you're my guy. You've won us a lot of games. You've won us a hell of a lot of big games. You're a Hall of Famer. You're a generational guy. I can't put you out there right now. Our bullpen, I have lots of options. I appreciate that you want to be that guy. I know you want to rewrite that. I got to do what's best for the team. We're all right. I need to save you. I'm not going to go to you. Come on, Skip. I can get this. I can help you. I can get you 6 outs. I can get you 7 outs. Yeah, I know, and I appreciate that. We're not doing it. But that's not what he did. Dave Roberts did go to Clayton Kershaw. He got the 1 out. At that point, when he went out to him, my thought process was, no, don't do it. Do not do it. This guy has not had success in the postseason. He has not had success coming out of the bullpen in the postseason. You have other options. You don't need to do this. You don't need to do this. But then he gives him the ball, and he's filthy. 1-2-3 strikes. Sit down. Have some. And then you know Dave Roberts was thinking, it's going to end well. He's got it. He looks nasty. He can get this thing done. And then he runs him out there again. And I'm thinking, don't do this. This lead is not safe. And the second he gave up that bomb, he should have gone on a sprint to the mound to rip the ball out of his hand. We tried, Clayton. We tried, all right? It's not meant to be, my man. I love you. Go back to the dugout. But he didn't. Bam! 3-3 game. And that's definitely part of the narrative. Bad night for him. Bad night for Dave Roberts. Bad night for Joe Kelly. But again, Joe Kelly should not have been out there for another inning. There were other options. Look at Kenta Maeda. Look how filthy he was when he went in there. You had Baez. You had Kenley Jansen. Dave Roberts had other options. All that said, I don't think there's a better option than him. I don't think there's a guy that guarantees you win a World Series. I'd bring him back. But I'm the only one saying that so far. When we come back, like it or not, I'm giving the Nats credit. They earned it. I afraid he came on. That's how bad that was last night. It brought him out. Matt in L.A. came in to own some. Who else is going to call? I haven't even gotten to the Cards and Braves yet. This is the epitome of a one-topic show. You don't see that very often. We could easily do 3 hours, 5 hours, 10 hours on the Dodgers. Not even Dodgers, Nats, just Dodgers. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come right back. Stay tuned. Your calls are next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
It's a good thing that Dave Roberts' fate has not left all you clones, or he wouldn't have made it back to the clubhouse. 1-800-636-8686. All right, I'll tell you something else. It could be a one-topic show, but it's not a one-topic show. We're going to give the Nats some credit whether you want to or not. Because for all the talk about L.A. last night, blowing that game, how about a little respect for the Nationals for ripping that game? I mean, for real.
You give them some credit. I mean, for real.
For real. Oh, hey, did you know the Nats with 12 games under 500 in May? Crazy, right? Sincerely, Jerome Bettis is from Detroit. Did you also know the Nats had never won a postseason series before? Signed A.J. Hawk, married Brady Quinn's sister. Look, I understand that Washington being dead and buried in the regular season is kind of tired at this point. Kind of overplayed at this point. Been running to the ground at this point. But that is the point. It's their identity. It's who they are. They're most dangerous when they're wounded. And if you don't end them when you can, they will end you. They're a zombie team. I mean, how many times have these guys been left for dead? They were supposed to be dead before the year when Bryce Harper left. They were supposed to be done during the year when they couldn't win games and their manager was about to get fired. They were supposed to be done in the postseason when they were just four outs away from Milwaukee beating them in the wild card game. They were supposed to be dead when they got into this series against the best team in baseball and one of the best regular season teams of all time. And they were supposed to be dead when they fell behind in the first inning because teams that score first are 74-41 in winner-take-all games. And everybody in that stadium thought they were dead when they were six outs away from losing last night. And even when they tied that game last night, they should have been dead because only three road teams have ever won a clinching Game 5 in extra innings. Oh, and then there is the fact, their history. As a team, they've never won jack. As a franchise, they haven't won in nearly 40 years. Like Natitude. You always hear about the Natitude. Man, Natitude was a joke. Natitude was a punchline. Natitude, I'll give you Natitude. Natitude was losing every time they reached the postseason. Except now, Natitude is legit. Get some bad dudes on this team. Get some badass dudes on this team. GM Mike Rizzo said this afterwards.
And, you know, to win these games, FP, you know this, is your stars got to be stars. Tonight our stars were stars, and they won the game.
You can see why that guy's pumped up, and he's right. Their stars were stars last night. That was the difference last night. Their stars were huge bleeping stars. And the Dodger stars, with the exception of Walker Buehler, weren't. Anthony Rendon played like an MVP. Juan Soto was a monster. Steven Strasburg battled his ass off. They all stepped up. And then, of course, you have Howie Kendrick, the guy who could not have been a bigger disaster in the field for that series, and he had the biggest moment of them all. In fact, Alvin, if you don't mind, you should probably run that back one more time.
This is deep to center field. Bellinger's back. It's a grand slam. Howie Kendrick with a 10th inning grand slam to break it open.
Wow.
It is 7-3. The former Dodger breaking hearts in Los Angeles.
You talk about staying through a ball. And look, there's fans leaving already. And they are shocked.
Stunned silence at Chavez Ravine. The only noise coming out of that Washington dugout.
Probably shouldn't have been stunned, though, right? As Ernie said, that's a former Dodger. And SoCals know he's a former Angel. We've seen this guy with a bat in his hand. We know what Kendrick can do. Again, I said it myself. When he came to the plate, my thought was, that is the last guy you want to see at the plate right now. And the SoCals know it. He is a pro's pro. Another well-worn, beaten-down phrase. But he is a pro's pro. Rendon said it afterwards.
He's the epitome of a professional hitter. He's what? He's like 45 years old and still doing this. But man, I mean, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to make errors. I mean, we're human. We're not, you know, perfect people. I mean, that's a part of the game. And he's not going to give up. He's just going to continue to keep on trucking. And that man can hit. So man, he did what he needed to do.
Let me give you another well-worn phrase. You hear in baseball all the time. That guy can roll out of the rack hitting. Howie Kendrick is the guy who rolls out of the rack hitting. The epitome of a professional. And the Nats are the epitome of not dead, can't quit. Not dead, can't quit. They're not dead. And I'm starting to think they might not be able to be killed. Like, stay in the fight? You keep hearing that from them. Stay in the fight? That's not a hashtag. That's a mantra. It's a way of life. And these brawlers from D.C. are looking to curb stomp somebody else. Put some respect on them. Instead of coming in here and spending the entire day killing the Dodgers, killing Dave Roberts, killing Kershaw, killing Kelly, put some respect on the Nats. Because what they did last night really was the epitome of badass. You better choke these dudes out when you have the chance. The Brewers had a chance. They didn't do it. The Dodgers had a chance. They didn't do it. You get up early and you ice these guys. If not, they will tap you the hell out. every freaking time. I'm not criticizing LA. I've rapped them plenty today. But give the other guy credit for doing what they did.
Give them some credit.
For real. That's the first time I've agreed with Phil Jackson in a while. Give them some bleeping credit. For real.
Give them some credit. I mean, for real.
Kendrick, afterwards, was asked about the pitch and the bomb.
You know what? That's some magic right there, man. We've had a great year all year. I mean, like, the start of our year, you never thought we'd be in this moment right here. Great team for the Dodgers, you know, 106 wins. But, you know, tonight we were able to best them. And, you know, they're a really good team. But, you know, one swing of the bat can change things. And I'm glad that we were able to get this series.
He's a pro. He's right. One swing can change things. That guy went wickets earlier in the game. Didn't matter. Had a bad game in the field or had a bad series defensively. Didn't matter. Because one swing can change everything. One swing can alter legacies, careers, reputations, and now they advance. He said, we had a great year all year long. No, you didn't. You had a bad start to the year. Guys were going to get fired at the start of the year, but they turned it around. All right, we're coming right back. One last segment. Didn't even get into the Cards. Man, I'll tell you who's skating today, the Braves. Not even a mention after what happened to them yesterday. Not a single mention on this show. They are skating. Cards, Nats. The matchup that nobody expected, the matchup that nobody wanted. It's pretty damn good. 1-800-636-8686. After the show, if you're looking for something to do, check out EP99 of the Jim Rome Podcast. Randy Couture. I thought that I would get to that today. Probably won't. Here is your sports update. All night. So a couple of things going on here. One, the Dodger haters are having a field day, a national holiday. Two, people who love the Dodgers are coming hard for Dave Roberts. And three, I spent the last 2.5 hours defending him, saying I'd bring him back. And I would do the same thing tomorrow and the day after. And so you can find me a better option. Bad day. Bad time to have a bad day. But I'm looking at his body of work. And I'm looking at the culture there. I'm looking at his understanding of the town, the brand, the clubhouse, the players. And I'm looking at the guys who came in and punched him in the face. And I'm tipping my hat. Really quickly, what about that other matchup? I mentioned the Atlanta Braves are skating. Like yesterday was a day for seam heads all day long. All sorts of hype. Two game fives. Two elimination games. But everybody was wrong. Because there was one game and one organized batting practice. Man, I don't know what the hell happened in the ATL yesterday. I just know that that was not a baseball game. Game 5 was not a baseball game. And Dodger fans, if you're feeling snake bitten, don't mention that to anybody from Atlanta because they will run off their rap sheet. Check out the resume down there. They blew a 2-0 lead in the World Series. They blew a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl. Eugene Robinson, Bobby Petrino, the Atlanta Thrashers. And now you can add this to the list as well. Now, before I get into it, Atlanta, you did know there was a Game 5 yesterday, right? And that game was going to start roughly at 5 p.m. your time, right? You may have known, but your team sure as hell didn't. Because I have never seen a play-by-play like this in the first inning of a winner-take-all game. It reads like this. Walk, sack, bunt, single, single, fielder's choice, walk, double, intentional walk, walk, double, double, fly out, strike out, reached on with a wild pitch, ground out. So when the smoke settled and the dust settled, it was 10-0 Cards before Atlanta even got into the batter's box. Man, all that fire, all that passion the Cards had after Yadi Molina had that game winner in Game 4 and then fired his bat into the outfield, that carried right over into first inning last night. You want to know how bad it was for Atlanta? Their starter was pulled after one-third of an inning. Got one out. But even that does not do it justice. It gets worse, even more humiliating. St. Louis brought in Harrison Bader, to play center field for the bottom of the first inning. They made a defensive substitution before they played defense. A repeat. The Cards made a defensive substitution before they played defense. In other words, after a half inning, they were already looking to close down the game. And to answer the question, no, that was not a choke job by Atlanta. That was the ultimate hospital job by the Cards. Ask Atlanta manager Brian Snitker.
I don't know. I mean, I said, I don't know that I've seen that many guys hit in the first inning that quick in my entire life. Yeah, I don't know. Wasn't how we drew it up, I know that. But I don't know. It just that thing just kept rolling, and we couldn't stop it.
He's like, I don't know what happened. I'll tell you what happened. You get your ass kicked. That's what happened. They were making a defensive substitution in the bottom of the inning. Like, oh, this is over. Let's bring in our defensive specialists. The game is over. How bad was that? Cards player Jose Martinez said, quote, I had to come inside and get a cup of coffee because I said this is going to be a long night for them. They played a good series. We had a great inning. If they're going to the coffee machine and going to make defensive substitutions a half inning in, you know it's bad. It's a pretty sick burn. We were beating you down so badly, I had to go blast some Joe. One out in. This is going to be a long-ass night. And they weren't done either after the first. They went up 13-0 after the third. Check out Cards manager Mike Schilt.
Well, first of all, it's like, you know, never enough runs, man. Just keep eating, boys. You know, keep going. And which they did. You know, I love the fact we added on after that in the next couple innings as well. You know, as far as that goes, you know, this is a very present group. You know, just kept right there, you know, pitch to pitch.
Talk about a mantra. Keep eating, boys.
Just keep eating, boys.
Just keep eating, boys.
Just keep eating, boys.
That's such a good line. But far from the best line he had after that game. Not even close, which I'll get to in a second. But before I do, when it was 13-0, that game should have just been called. They should have gone with the mercy rule like they do in Little League Baseball. Everybody go home. We're good. No need to further the humiliation. Mercy them. It's 13-0. Because the rest of the game was just about getting outs. Just about getting through outs to get to the celebration. But before the celebration, there had to be a speech. And let's be real. The speech that guy dropped is one of the best damn speeches you're ever going to hear. One of the players streamed it. It's awesome. There are a lot of profanities. Now would be a good time to get the kids out of the room. But if I hear even a whisper of an apology from the manager or the Cards from this speech, I will be bleeping pissed. It is so real. It's so honest. It's perfect. Are you ready for this? Whether you are or not, I'm going to play it anyway. This is an all-time speech after a big win.
What I loved about this series is we played the game hard, we played the game right. They started some shit, we finished the shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how we roll. We don't start, but no one with us ever. Ever. All right? Now, I don't give a who we play. We're going to them up. We're going to take it right to them the whole way. We're going to kick their ass.
Yeah. Let's go!
It's an amazing speech. That's the kind of speech that flag football frat bro could only dream of giving. Man, that's real. That's raw. That's honest. The bleep rate on that speech was through the roof. Here's a rough transcript. Quote, the Braves started some bleep. We finished the bleep. That's how we roll. No one bleeps with us ever. Now I don't give a bleep who we play. We're going to bleep them up. We're going to take it right to them the whole bleeping way. We're going to kick their bleeping ass. Flag football frat bro doesn't even have that in him. Man, that's the truth. And that's not sanitized and that's not polished up for the cameras. That's how it is. That is how that team rolls. I'm a big fan. Nats and Cards. Not the matchup anybody was expecting. Not the matchup anybody wanted to see. But that's the matchup we're going to get. It's going to be a brawl in the street. A couple of crews looking to bleep each other up. I'm here for it. Give me that flag football frat bro. Say that five times real fast.
What I'm loving about this series is...
That's not the bro, Albie.
We decide what goes, who goes, and when we win, and when we lose. Which is never. Never. Alright? Now, I don't give a who we play. We're gonna him up. We're gonna take it right to him the whole way.
I'm starting to think he may have ripped that from the flag. Football frat bro. Shoot, like, where'd he get that from? Was that from the heart? Was that real? Was that raw? Or was that a straight ripoff of the flag football frat bro? You tell me. It sounds like almost the exact same speech.
We decide what goes, who goes, and when we win, and when we lose. Which is never. Now, I don't give a who we play. We're going to him up. We're going to take it right to him the whole way. We're
going to
kick
your
ass.
Yeah. Let's go!
Dude, that frat bro was way ahead of his time. He's got major league managers ripping from his speech, allegedly. That sounds like almost the exact same speech. Either way, I'm here for it.
Just keep eating, boys.
Just keep eating, boys. That's going to be a real good matchup. Randy Couture, episode 99. We're almost done here. Once we are done here, you should go rush to that. Find that. And I'll have a preview for you tomorrow. Got time for a phone call before I wrap this thing. Another disgruntled Dodger fan, a.k.a. Raider Mike. Today's Dodger Mike. What's going on, Mike?
Man, smack. Thanks for taking the call, buddy. Hey, look, I know I'm out of my lane here, and you know, I'm not even going to try to pretend to spike the ball after that Bears game. But, you know, Jim, I've spent enough nights up in Chavez Ravine since even the days of Walter Alston to have an informed opinion of what happened last night. This Dodger team, it's a product of the style of baseball being played today, period. I don't think there's a doubt the baseballs are juiced. You don't believe me? Look at the records being smashed, or better yet, ask Justin Verlander. You've got a career Mendoza line hitter like Enrique Hernandez basically hit what should have been a mile-high pop-up last night, and yet it clears the wall and left. Are you kidding? This Dodger team, Jim, it's built on the home run. It lives and dies with it. You're right. That fly ball by Smith, it goes over the wall, and this is a different show today. You can win a regular season record, 106 games, playing this style of baseball. But in the playoffs, in the National League playoffs, you have got to be able to manufacture runs against premier pitching, against the Scherzers, the Strasburgs. And to me, the frustrating thing, and I heard Iafredi's call, is that Roberts was that type of player. He stole bases. He sacrificed. He could hit and run. And I'm not even looking at the decision to pull Kirsch. You know, in fact, if there was a pitching mistake, I'd ask why they weren't calling for more fastballs from Buehler. But more importantly, this game should have never went to extra innings. They should have scratched across that run in the sixth inning. They've got a man on second, no outs. My God, have Beattie sacrifice Bellinger to third, pinch hit for Seager, and take your shots. Both are moves that Lasorda would have done. In fact, in Lasorda's day, every Dodger pitcher could bunt, every position player could hit and run, and they were winning walk-off games with suicide squeeze plays.
Where'd he go? Where's Dodger Mike? Alvin, did you start that off with the autumn wind and then segue into that? You know what that was? That's the equivalent of a baseball diamond on a football field, which you Raider fans know all about.
And you know,
you want to be sure you're taking the right vitamins, right? So get personalized daily vitamin packs delivered each month with GNC for you. Get started at GNCforYou.com. GNC, the number 4, the letter U.com. GNC, live well.
And you know,
we're done. My thanks to Orlando Magic head coach Steve Clifford, Arash Markazi of the LA Times, Dave Clawson from Wake Forest. Y'all have a great day, and I will see you right back here tomorrow. We're out.